Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Bridges to Business Radio.
Hello, this is Anne Ravel Petcher, your host. And today's Bridges to Business is bringing you, I have two guests here today from the Raleigh-Durham area. And the work that they're doing is actually impacting Wilmington and our success, and the success of our technology community specifically here. So I'm really excited to introduce Laura Baverman, the editor of Exit Event. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
Thanks for being here.
Sure.
And we have David Rizzo, the CEO of NC Idea. Hey, David.
Hey.
David's also a partner in the NC Idea Fund. Make sure I got that down right.
You're close, but that's good. Yeah.
And see, let's do it right. It's the Idea Fund Partners. Okay. And that's the investment firm. So I'm going to start here, David, with a few questions for you.
Sure.
Why don't you just tell us, now that I've bungled the name so well, why don't you tell us a little bit about NC Idea?
Well, actually, NC Idea is a not-for-profit.
Oh, great.
And our role in life is to give companies money, literally give, to help them get ready to raise money. So it's for those activities where an outside investor might say, if you just did this and this and this and this, I'd be willing to give you money.
Mm-hmm.
And so we provide them grants. And the grants are up to $50,000. And there are no strings attached. We don't take any equity. We don't take any debt.
Wow, no strings at all. Performance strings nothing.
No. We ask that they communicate with us
mm-hmm.
and talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's really intended to help these companies get ready to raise money.
Wow. So these are all very early stage companies.
Yes. And we've done 82 of them.
82?
Mm-hmm.
Since what year?
It's our 17th cycle, two cycles a year.
Wow.
So whatever that math is how many years
a little around 8 years ago or so.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really amazing. Now, what qualifies someone to be considered for an idea fund?
For one of our grants, it's it has to be a growth business. It can't be a barbershop.
Okay.
Not that I have anything against a barbershop. I think that's a great business to be in. But it has to be the kind of company that an outside investor would say, I want to put my money in here because I want to make it something bigger.
Right.
So these are software companies, medical device companies, high growth opportunities.
Okay.
And that's really what we look for. Consulting companies, family business,
Not so much.
Not so much.
You know, people are talking a lot right now about growth stage companies. Talk to me a little bit, if you wouldn't mind, about what is the difference between an early stage company and a growth stage company?
Yeah, so I think this is actually the conundrum in the state right now.
One of many, I'm sure.
We've done a pretty good job now of getting companies out of the gates, the first, financing just to get proof of product, proof of concept, proof of market. Where we struggle is the next stage, which is what I call the sophisticated Series A.
Okay.
Where we're taking a company from friends and family into a real launch.
Okay.
And that's the difference. The difference is I've developed something, I've got a little product, I've got something that kind of works, and then turning it into something I can take to market. And that's where we're spending our time.
So that stage is essentially beyond the funding, and it's certainly beyond napkin stage. Is it all the way to having customers stage?
Yeah, it's going from your first 3 to 5 customers who are your who love you and they want to do it into your next 500 customers.
Okay.
It's that transition.
Okay. So it's probably beyond, in the software industry, at least beyond a beta type. Do we still do betas in the software industry?
We do alpha. We do whatever we want.
Or you can be Google and never get out of beta.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's being beta forever.
Sure. We do alphas. We do betas. But it's what I would call the expansion phase.
Okay. Sure, right.
Of a company.
Okay. So these are for the grants, right? Mm-hmm. So let's go back and let's talk a little bit about the kinds of companies who've been applying for these grants and who've been winning these grants from you. Mm-hmm. They seem to be statewide. Is that correct?
Yes. I would have to tell you that, you know, 2/3 of them are coming from the Triangle area just because of, you know, the nature of the beast.
Right.
But we're seeing an increasing number of grant applications from outside the state. Now, what we've got to do is sort of improve the sophistication of those grants.
And when you mean sophistication of the grant, you mean of the company applying for the grant.
The benefit of the companies in the Triangle is that they have these accelerators and they have all sorts of resources. And so their grants are, you know, they got it.
Right. Yeah. They got a lot of people working with them to make sure they get those grants. Right.
Outside of the Triangle, what we're seeing is a lot more grant applications. And what we need to see is more sophisticated business models.
Okay.
More support.
And where are you starting to see some of those? Outside of the Triangle, I think we know of quite a few of the support organizations that are there. In fact, there seem to be more support organizations every day. So you have support organizations there within universities. You have independent ones. You have American Underground. You've got CED. You've got just a big series. In Charlotte, we have
Packard Place
and a couple others springing up there, if I'm not mistaken. Supporting entrepreneurs.
Though I would say Packard Place is far and away
the leader
there.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Cool. And then, of course, in Wilmington, we have our CIE over at UNCW. Mm-hmm. So you're starting to get a little bit of support there from organizations. What would you like to see those support organizations helping the entrepreneurs with a little bit more succinctly?
Pick the winners.
The magic. It's the magic.
Yeah, we sometimes congratulate ourselves based on how many startups we've helped, not how many have succeeded. We have this cliff, you know, there's the entrepreneurial cliff where you start, you get to a certain point, and then you fall off. Uh-huh. Well, we need to figure out which companies aren't going to fall off. And we need to begin to marshal our resources in that area.
So you think that it's not – that you can actually tell ahead of time which companies are going to hit that cliff.
Absolutely.
Interesting. So it's not what happens along the way. It's actually – it's germane to the organization pretty early on whether it's going to make it or not.
You can tell – well, I don't know. This isn't going to sound right, but sometimes you can tell just by talking to the entrepreneur.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. You know?
Boy, I'd love to be able to create a litmus test that you could just literally dump the entrepreneur into this into this and see,
we just got our applications in for our most recent grant cycle, another 135 applications.
Wow.
And, you know, there'll be a bunch where I'll look at them and say, great idea, but.
What's that process like for them? I mean, so you've got 135 new companies. These are all brand new companies.
Brand new companies, yeah.
From across North Carolina and all sorts of different kinds of technology-related endeavors. They spend a ton of time looking over the application process and figuring out how to answer your questions. Is that correct? I mean, does it start with you give them an application and they figure out how to make themselves look good on paper?
Well, we make it even worse.
Oh, good.
I love it. We have character counts, so in each section they can only put in a certain number of characters.
Oh, you Twitter guy, you. Interesting.
And it includes the spaces and the periods. And the goal is to help them figure out how to say what they need to say in the most efficient way possible.
Excellent.
Because investors, people like me, we have the attention span of gnats. And I know when I get all these business plans every year, if I don't get interested in the first paragraph, I'm not going to read it.
Well, what's in that first paragraph that's so interesting?
The market, why I'm good, something big, something unique. I mean, if I knew it, I would have done it.
I know, right? It's that magic thing, right?
So,
so the kinds of companies that have had that magic. Just can you, I think I'm thinking through to some of the ones that were, that
one I love is Automated Insights.
Oh, tell us more about Automated. I know what Automated Insights, but the audience doesn't.
Oh, good heavens. I love this company. So this company has the ability to take data from all sorts of sources and write articles, literally articles that you would think you're going to hate this.
I don't hate it. At all, actually.
let's let the journalist chime in here.
and create blogs and
put PR people out of business for sure.
And so they're doing it in the sports sector.
Mm-hmm.
Is the first sector, and they're doing it with Yahoo in a big way.
Great.
And so they take all this data from all over the world on sports, and they write articles, but nobody's involved. It's all automated.
Now, what did they do to capture your imagination when they first reached out to you? Can you even recall that, or?
Well, they demonstrated it. I mean, it worked. And now they get hundreds of millions of subscribers.
Yeah. They started out as a different company, didn't they?
Yes, and you're going to ask me their name.
I know,
when they
and
first
it's
started,
escaping
and I'm gonna,
me too right
it's
now.
It's going to escape me, but
Stat sheet is right.
And so I remember going. I remember
job,
going.
Laura.
They had a thing called Stat something, where you could go on to log on to Duke and Carolina, and you could say, I'm a Carolina fan. It would bring up all the stats of why you should hate Duke.
I know. I used to do that with Georgia Tech and University of Georgia all the time. It was so cool.
It
was pretty fun. But I believe that still exists. The stat sheet technology still exists.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a really cool company. You have other companies. We have a Wilmington, somebody who went to UNCW who won a grant this last fall, and he has a really interesting technology, and I think he is in a very different state than Automated Insights was when they came to you. So when you take something like a Snap Yeti, he's been out there, he's got some traction in the marketplace. What would he do with a $50,000 grant? What would you expect to happen with somebody who's been out there, he's got the first rev of his app going, he's got a certain amount of following? What would you like to see happen with that $50,000 that comes out of the grant?
Well, mostly what I would hope to see is, in his application, I would hope that he would be honest enough to tell us what's going well and what's not. And you got to be straight up, because we can see through it.
I was going to say, can't you see through that?
Yeah, we can see through it quickly.
Right.
And then apply the money towards what's not going well.
Okay.
If you're a great developer and you want to go hire more developers with our money, we're like, well, why would you need to do that? If you're a great developer and you don't have any idea what business model you're going to be in, then we think maybe you should contract with a consultant to help you with your business model.
Exactly.
So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the gaps. And are you smart enough to know what your gaps are?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And are you honest enough with yourself to say, this is what I'm good at, and this is what I'm not good at? And if you want to apply the money to what you're already good at, I don't understand that. Apply it towards what you're not good at.
Yeah.
And then be straight up about it.
Right.
Because we will jump through hoops to help you with that. But if you're arrogant and you think, I know everything, I don't have time for that.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be a good use of the grant money at that point anyways. So let's talk about something a little different. Let's talk about the other side of your business. Put your different hat on. Put your partner's hat on. And talk to me a little bit about your investment side of the business.
Well, you know, we want to give you money and take all your company.
All of it.
No, I'm teasing.
All of it? I'm shaking in my boots.
We don't ever want to own more than half. Ever.
Well, that's good.
Ever. That's a disaster. You know, this is a classic Series A syndicated investment capital. preferred. It's very classic. And we invest with angels all over the state.
So you like a syndication?
The day we think we're smarter than everybody else is the day we should shoot ourselves.
It's the day you'll be proven you're not.
Love having other people involved they're going to ask questions that we just don't think of.
Sure.
I mean, we're professional at it. We do it full time.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people who bring expertise to the table that we don't have.
Right.
And you know, unless you're a Sequoia or a huge venture
NEA
fund,
you
just can't. You got to have a syndicate.
Yeah.
You really
do. Even they do a lot of syndication.
Right.
Is it traditional in terms of you have a range in which you like to do your investment? You look at something as low as $500,000?
We do as low as 1 to 200,000. We like to invest 1 to 2 million in a company. We like to invest with partners. We like capital efficient companies. We're in the Southeast. This is not California.
Right.
It has to be capital efficient.
Talk to us about what capital efficient means to a business.
In California, they're willing to invest in a lot of businesses, and if they fail, it's okay. And they're willing to invest a lot of money in a few businesses to make a market. We can't make a market here.
Why is that?
We don't have the capital.
Gotcha. It's all about the mass of capital.
It's the mass of it and the velocity of it, if you will. And so we need to make sure that the companies that we invest in can get across the finish line with the amount of money we can actually raise in this geography. Because if they can't, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
If you give somebody $10 and they can't get home on $10, what have you accomplished with the $10?
You're not going to meet the goals.
Right. So we need to find companies here that can get across the finish line with the amount of capital we can actually raise here.
So there's an operational efficiency that is actually intrinsic to being in North Carolina. I mean, it's significantly less expensive to do business here
Absolutely.
Than it is in Silicon Valley.
It's also significantly more difficult to attract the kind of talent we need.
So we're having a talent problem.
We do. We have a talent problem.
Primarily in the world of coding. Is that our biggest problem?
Oh, no. I think it's in all categories. I think it's in executive leadership, serial entrepreneurs, if you will. I think it's in sophisticated development leadership.
Hmm.
I think it's in sales and marketing.
Hmm.
You know, I think these are all issues that we deal with every day. I think recruiting into North Carolina the right kind of talent is far and away more important than the amount of capital that's available.
And do you think we have trouble recruiting?
I think we have trouble telling our story. We have a great story. I don't think we tell it well.
Well, let's work on that. Let's get the story told. Why don't we have serial entrepreneurs here? Why do you think that is?
Many of our entrepreneurs start later in life.
Okay.
And so they, when they do one and you work that hard, it's time to stop.
Yeah.
The other is we have a state tax infrastructure
mm-hmm.
that encourages you to move to Florida before you sell your company.
Oh. Oh.
So if you can go live in Florida for 6 months and then sell your company, you pay no state income tax.
I see.
And no state capital gains tax.
So we have a few things to look at here.
So there are public policy issues. It's not the end of the world.
No,
it just is.
No, right, exactly. One of the things that I have been very impressed by when I look down the hall there at NCIDEA is your commitment to economic development.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the IDEA grant is proof of that commitment. But I'm curious about how you think about technology-led economic development and how technology companies impact regional growth.
I don't think it has anything to do with technology.
You don't?
No. I think it has to do with great people and great entrepreneurs. I don't think, you know, if it was all about technology, you'd say that the $1.5 billion that comes into the triangle in federal government research,
mm-hmm.
we should be overflowing
Oh, well, we should be.
Right. But we're not.
But we're not.
It's all about the people.
But we have good people. We just don't have enough good people.
We don't. We need more people who understand how to take technology and leverage it into a business.
Okay. Hold that thought for just 1 minute. I want to talk to Laura about this. Laura, as editor of Exit Event, we're going to get into what Exit Event is in just a minute.
Sure.
But your publication really focuses on entrepreneurial companies.
Yes.
What do you see in terms of the people? As you, I know that you're new to the position, but you've been in the Triangle for about a year or so now.
Mm-hmm.
You've met with a lot of entrepreneurs. What do you see in terms of the entrepreneurial community here and the extent of the talent that we're finding?
I've met some really talented people. I agree about the people not telling their stories. Just in 5 weeks since I took this job, I'm amazed at what I've learned that has not been in the press yet. Mm. And I just feel like a lot of the companies, a lot of the heads of the companies sort of are really focused on building their companies, which I'm sure people like Dave would be happy about to some extent. But I don't know that they know well, you know, how to talk about what they're doing. I think part of the problem is that they're really focused on maybe a type of customer that's not in the region. So that might be why they're not as focused on like a local press standpoint. I do feel like the university connections are pretty strong, but maybe there's a little disconnect in the entrepreneurs working with the students, like to help them understand what entrepreneurship is and the possibility that that there is with it. So it seems to me like a lot of students leave, you know, go to schools like Duke or UNC Chapel Hill. I'm not as familiar with UNCW yet, but it seems like they might go to school there and then they leave and they go work somewhere else, especially with Duke. So maybe some of the talent that, you know, could be really great to have in the region is coming into the university and then going out into the world beyond our region.
So we're not retaining the folks that we have here.
Yeah, I think that could be partially it. I mean, think about the quality of programs at those two universities. They're training people to have a global perspective on what they're doing, and they might be looking elsewhere in the globe in order to exercise that. So I don't know. That's just one thing I guess I've noticed a little bit. I come from Cincinnati where it's really consumer focused. So people are really good at selling themselves and selling everything. So it's a little different for me to meet with an enterprise company and have to tell them like 5 or 6 times, can you please explain that again? Because I don't get it, you know, and well, nor will my readers. So
let me help my audience today, right now, understand why I'm asking you this question. Give us some background on Exit Event and your role at Exit Event. And
Exit Event was founded by a local entrepreneur. Actually, he is at works at Automated Insights, Joe Procopio, a couple of years ago. And he built it as sort of a network for entrepreneurs and investors with the goal of it being kind of statewide, but obviously focused more on the Triangle region since that's where they are based. And he was kind of noticing that the local publications and just media in general were sort of not giving a lot of coverage towards startup companies. I think that's changed a lot. I see a lot more attention from the other publications like the Triangle Business Journal and WRAL TechWire. And it sounds like here there's been a lot more emphasis here in Wilmington on startups. But at the time there wasn't. His concept was for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs, had a staff of people, not, I say staff loosely, they're volunteers, and himself sort of writing, you know, their own perspectives on building companies about the community. And then he hosted an event once a month that was for entrepreneurs and investors only called the Startup Social. Became very well known, Exit Event, as sort of, especially for the events, this type of networking that happens there is really, I don't know, it's not like wearing a name tag. It's like you're kind of getting inside, you know, information or inside access to people.
Much like we see a lot in Silicon Valley and in Seattle.
Yeah, I think he was kind of trying to model it a little bit off of that type of interaction that happens there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joe is a full-time entrepreneur, was spending, you know, 5 to 10 hours a week on this. And American Underground, which is owned by Capital Broadcasting in Raleigh, really had an interest in just media and making sure the story gets out, you know, this sort of thing that Dave and I have both mentioned now. And they acquired Exit Event from him late last year and recruited me to run the site full time. So I'm the first person that's really dedicated to building up the content, the event strategy, and
have a loud applause going on in the background.
Yeah, and hopefully growing our readership, you know, beyond what it is today.
Really interesting. So who do you think should be reading Exit Event?
I think anyone who's interested in business, honestly. I mean, the business world is changing. Whether you're a banker or you're, you know, working at a CRO or whatever, your industry is changing in some way. And the types of companies that we're writing about at ExitEvent are thinking about what that new way is going to be. So I think there's a lot to learn from that. I think there's a lot to learn from the way entrepreneurs do business, different than a large organization.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can learn different strategies or tips from the way that they interact with employees or the way that they market themselves or thinking about having to do something on a really shoestring budget. I think that's helpful for anyone to have to think about. It makes you be creative. So I think anyone, I hope that we get more students and young people to hear these stories. Some of them, people come from very humble beginnings, and Dave probably has plenty of stories related to that. And I love to tell the backstory of how somebody came up with something and went about doing it, because sometimes it seems really impossible to make your idea a reality, but there are people who have enough initiative to do that. And we're telling those stories. I also, you know, I'm hoping that we will become a thought leader on certain issues. You know,
what kinds of issues are you particularly interested in?
Some things lately that I feel like have been coming up a lot are just trying to make this state recognized as an entire region instead of small little pockets of activity. I think Exit Event can really be a place where we merge a lot of, make the state one as far as its outside image as a place for, you know, for early stage companies.
That's good to hear. I know a lot of people are concerned about that and trying to figure out how best to go about that. So
yeah,
it's great.
Yeah.
Glad that you're going to be a part of that.
Yeah. I hope that, another thing, a lot of people have been talking to me about design and just the idea of thinking about designing the way that design impacts software companies and can, you know, the Triangle region was, you know, be a leader in that and incorporating
as in graphic design?
No, incorporating like good design into the types of products that are coming out
of
the region.
Okay.
So I this is an idea that's kind of happening in Silicon Valley right now, this idea of design thinking before just building a product that you think is cool, like where your customers actually want it. There's some events coming up around that. So I think that's kind of interesting. I think, you know, diversity is a challenge,
everywhere.
And especially, I mean, here as in anywhere else. So, it's been really encouraging. And since I started to see there's a couple women's initiatives that are going on.
I was going
to
say there are a lot of women owned, entrepreneurial organizations. Now I'm not organizations. I'm sorry. Companies that are doing really quite well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's really exciting to see that.
Yeah. There's some of that. There's a multicultural women's meetup that meets in Durham. I think once a month or every couple of weeks, which is really cool. I haven't been able to go yet, but I've heard there's, you know, 30 or 40 people involved in that. So, so I think those are just some of the ideas. I think the talent issue is a big one. How to make sure that the right talent is finding itself into the companies. So I don't know. I'm open to other ideas of what people think, you know, we should be focusing on for sure.
How do you approach the stories that you write? Are you looking for a particular angle, particular take on things? You want to do an overview of companies? Do you want to talk about technology, deep dives into technology? What's your goal? How do you?
Yeah, I would say the really cool thing about Exit Event, I'm a one man shop right now. I mean, I've got plenty of people helping me, but I'm the only paid staff person. So, mm-hmm. I'm a journalist by trade. I've spent 10 years writing about business and half of that writing about startup companies. So I have sort of the journalistic background and I will be writing, you know, I'm already writing a lot of profile stories, introducing the people behind some of the companies that you're hearing about, doing some analysis into some of the issues that we've discussed. And then really looking at national and international, you know, buzzwords and how do those relate to this region. So I'd say if a company falls into a category where, you know, they're aligned with that buzzword somehow and they have a local, you know, there's a local attachment to them, I think that would be interesting. I think just really good people stories. I love to hear people's backstory. I think I kind of mentioned that. I think there's a lack of really good profiles that are happening. I think there's a lot of news that's being reported when a company raises funds or when they release a new product, but I don't think there's a lot of insight into the people that are behind that. So I think we'll be doing a lot more of that. And then the other side of Exit Event is are the people I'm referencing, these volunteers who are writing about their personal journeys, starting companies, the industries that they're in, sort of ahas that they've had along the way. If you're familiar with the site Medium, which was started by some of the Twitter founders, it's sort of empowering people to have a voice and to write, and it's curated. And I feel like Exit Event is definitely that. I'm helping people, you know, get their message, mm-hmm. get their message or a message across without being promotional, of course, editing, helping them with the editing process, curating the types of things we want on the site that are considered sort of along the lines of thought leadership. I'm open to contributions at all times. I think that would be really cool to have a side of the site that's really newsy, but sort of analysis and backstories, and then a side of the site that's really written by people in the community.
Yeah, that's really cool. So Exit Event actually started as a series of events, did it not? Or did it?
He kind of did both. I mean, mm-hmm. It was sort of a place for Joe to sort of blog and write about, you know, being an entrepreneur in the Triangle area, and then the event series too. I honestly don't know which started first. I feel like there was kind of a mixture of both as he launched the site. We're continuing to do the startup socials. They're once a month for entrepreneurs and investors. People in Wilmington are welcome to come. They can find out about it on our website.
Well, maybe we can have some in Wilmington.
Yeah, definitely. He did for a period of time go to other cities, and I'm not sure if he ever had one here, but, we're starting to make those connections, obviously. And then we hope to expand and potentially do some other events. The key is that we're going to really we want them to be unique, and we want to attach our brand to something that's different and something that's really valuable for people. So we're not just going to start throwing, you know, happy hours. We're going to really be thoughtful about the types of things that we do.
It's more than beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Have you had any big surprises since you took over? What is it, 5 weeks ago now?
I
thought I told her I was not going to ask her any difficult questions.
Oh, I'm okay with difficult questions. You know, I think probably the biggest surprise, I think I sort of mentioned this when I opened, is just that there's a lot of, I ask everybody, like, what kind of media coverage have you had? Because I want to know, you know, what we can do different than what the other publications are doing. And a lot of people haven't had a lot of media, or there's been angles of their story that have been ignored or that just haven't not been told yet. So that's been really cool in, you know, as I interview people and ask those questions, to sort of know what we can do different. Today was kind of a surprise. I spent all day meeting with companies here in Wilmington, and just not knowing much. I'd heard their names before, but didn't know exactly what they were doing in the, I've been very impressed by, like, the reach, you know, the broad reach of some of the companies that I met, like, Encino and Drycase and, Next Glass. And I went to the CIE and just heard about some of the companies there, the Seahawk Fund. And I don't know, it was a really good day. It was really interesting. It made me excited about getting out of our region, and learning about the nuances of the different, regions of the state.
That's great.
So,
So you're feeling bullish on entrepreneurship for North Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely feel like I can be skeptical at times because I've been writing about companies for 5 years.
And it's your job as a journalist to be skeptical.
And you see the ebb and flow. I mean, you see things you wrote about that never materialized. But there are certain people, like Dave said, that you just get a feel for, and you just feel like, you know, you get excited by being around them, and you feel like they're going to figure out a way to make it work, or else they're going to do something else that they want to make work. You know, right. Like they'll figure it out somehow.
Sure.
And that's what makes my job exciting every day, is that I'm talking to people that have big dreams like that. I wrote 2 weeks ago about a art book and photography company called Daylight Books in Hillsboro, and I've not even been to Hillsboro yet, so I know it's not like in the middle of nowhere, it's like close to Durham, but anyway I was just
close to Chapel Hill.
I'm sorry, obviously I've not been there before, but they have like an international following of for the types of art books that they will partner with, you know them Dave,
yeah.
That they will partner with different artists and photographers to publish their work.
Interesting.
And they're launching a digital platform, partnering with museums and some of these artists to kind of recreate the art experience online. And that was really, it was just really cool to meet these guys. It just shows that you can do something anywhere and the power of that in this world. So I think that's why it's exciting, you know, to be doing what I'm doing in North Carolina and not somewhere like the Valley. I like that. So,
well, it seems that we have a lot of opportunities here for businesses to get their stories together. It sounds like that's sort of part of the theme here is get your story straight, get it clear, impress Dave in your first paragraph. How many characters do they get, Dave?
200.
200 characters.
Including spaces and periods.
Not much more than you put in a tweet to get your entire story out.
I want that too.
Okay, everybody wants 200 characters. So we have opportunities as an organization, as a community here in Wilmington for our startups to get your story out. If you can get it down in 200 characters, including spaces and periods,
we'll help
punctuation.
You with that.
See, and we'll help you with that. Everybody here will help you with that because we all benefit when the story becomes a little more succinct. But I hope that having you here today has given you an opportunity to experience a little bit more about what's going on outside the triangle, get you down here
Definitely.
To Wilmington a little bit more often. Do you have any words of encouragement for us here?
My sister owns the Palm Garden Lily Pulitzer store here,
oh.
So please go shop there.
Okay, well, I'll go buy something today.
I would just say that there's probably a lot of collaboration that could happen. I mean, it's funny because I was meeting with Next Glass, and they're doing something similar to Automated Insights, and I mentioned Automated Insights, and I was like, I don't know, I just feel like there's probably ways to collaborate, and like that whole idea of like state of the state realizing everybody's not that far away from each other, that maybe they can find synergies and things, and maybe that's already happening. I'm still new, so I don't want to act like I'm some business consultant because I'm not, but I don't know, I just, you know, kind of as I was meeting people, just realized, you know, the connection points. So
sure. If I had to give any advice to an entrepreneur, it's write down on a piece of paper, what am I really good at and what do I enjoy? And what am I not too good at and what don't I like doing? And then go find people who complement that. That is the $64 million formula.
Interesting.
If you try to do this on your own, unless you're superhuman, it ain't going to happen.
So you don't mean necessarily just employees or partners. You mean strategic partners, corporate partners.
I don't care what it is.
Financial partners or.
It's here's what I know. Here's what I do. Here's what I don't know. Here's what I don't do. And be honest. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that and be honest and recognize that being an entrepreneur is lonely, it's a very lonely thing to do. And if you can't be honest, it ain't going to work. And if I could take my 56 years and say any one thing to do, that would be it.
That's the one.
Yeah. And I think on that note, I think that is really being honest with the media is going to get you a better story too. I feel like one thing that's constantly a challenge for me is that people have a message that they want to get across, and that's all. They don't want to deviate from the message. They don't want, and I'm going to throw questions at them that they might not be anticipating, and sometimes they just don't want to answer that. I think the one thing about like getting more press for yourself is being open, being honest, and recognizing that an angle might not be the angle that you thought it was going to be. And oftentimes I'm thinking about other trends or other things that are going on, and I'm making different connections that an entrepreneur who is doing the same thing, you know, focused on one thing every day, you know, selling their product, building their company, I'm making connections elsewhere, you know, about, and that might be the story. So, I love it when people can be flexible and kind of work with me on, you know, not knowing exactly where something's going to go, but mm-hmm. being willing to answer questions and also to admit the things they haven't figured out yet. I think that just makes a story more compelling.
So the theme of honesty runs through all forms of entrepreneurship when you're dealing with media or whether you're dealing with funding or anything else. Well, this has been really fun, you guys. I've really appreciated you coming down and sharing with us some of your insights for entrepreneurs. And we appreciate you including Wilmington in your thoughts as you consider helping the sort of economic development trends here through the things that you do.
Thank you.
How will they get in touch with you if they have they think they have a story, Laura? What do they do?
Email is great, laura@exitevent.com. The site is just exitevent.com, and you can read everything there. Sign up for the events if you are an entrepreneur and investor, and we have a newsletter that goes out every Friday.
Excellent. Good. And David, how do they get in contact with you?
drizzo, drizzo@ncidea.org.
Excellent. And ncidea.org will be filled with all of the data that you need.
You can go to the website, ncidea.org. You can find everything you need.
Everything you need to know. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks to both of you for coming on down to Wilmington. And until next time, this is Anne Revell-Petcher for Bridges to Business.